Okay. So, yeah, Ty, I know. It's one of the camp. Yeah, you're right. It's one of. Okay, good. All right. Okay. So we want to keep track. So with the gold, people who gave gold to the Beis Hamikdash, people who gave gold were not stingy. Because they were not stingy, they had no demand to know, have an accounting exactly where the money went. Now I saw another answer, and I think these two are related. Question is, why by the Egel we find when everyone gave donations to make the Egel, there was no calculation. Moshe, Aaron, he spread out a sheet. Everyone threw in their gold earrings. They tied it up and they threw it into the fire, and an egel came out. Why didn't the people demand a cheshbon, a calculation, how much money? Why didn't the people demand to see where exactly the gold went for the egel? So the simple answer is when it comes to giving money for an avera. At the end of the day, the people, deep down inside, the Pintel Yid says, better you don't make a cheshbon. Better, I have charata.
I don't want to know
from it. Halavai, it should not be attributed to me. When it comes to building the Beis HaMikdash, when it comes to doing a mitzvah, people, they want to have a part. They want, you're giving gold and silver to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan, every person wants to have a chelik in the binyan of the Mishkan, so therefore they want to make sure there's a cheshbon in order that it should be on record that their gold, their silver, at least went for a purpose. So perhaps with the answer, these two go together. The reason why the people did not demand, making a suggestion, they did not demand to know exactly how the gold was used, was because it would be a kidroi. Oh, you want to know exactly where the gold went? For exactly, we know how much gold was collected. Where exactly did it go? Did it go for the aroim? Did it go for the menorah? Did it go to plate the krushim? Oh, there was also some gold went to make the egel.
Yeah.
So being that once you start asking too many questions, the question is not going to reflect well on the sponsor, on the donor. So they were wise enough to say, here, take the gold, give it, but don't make calculations as exactly to where the gold, for what the gold went. It should not turn into a kidroi for the building of the egel. Especially since, as Rashi actually says over here, in the first Rashi, why is it called Mishkan Ho'edus? Edus li-Yisrael sheviter lohem HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Maiseh Ho'egel. The Mishkan was the fact that the Shekhinah came to rest in the Beis HaMikdash was a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave Klal Yisrael for the Egel. So everything over here is all about the Egel. If we're going to start asking too many questions to know exactly where the gold went, for which part of the Mishkan, the natural conclusion is going to be, did it also go to build the Egel? That's why they held back on asking that particular question.
Was the Egel built before they donated the gold?
The Egel was built, yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Before they donated the gold. But it's going to reflect upon them. Now the Egel was destroyed. It was dispersed. And now they have new donations to build the Mishkan. And now we've given gold to the Mishkan. But just the question is going to be a painful reminder of what happened in the past. If they're going to start asking like they asked by the silver and the copper and the brass, all the other things, where did it go for? The gold that we gave, exactly for what purpose, for what function, what items? What item in the Mishkan did it go for? Oh, you want to know exactly where your gold went? Well, there's the gold that you gave for the Mishkan, and there's the gold that you gave for the Egel. The gold that you gave for the Egel went to make an Egel, and there's the gold that you gave for the Mishkan. Well, part of it went for the Aron, for the menorah, the chulu. Asking the question is going to be Me'oyer Kitroy on Klal Yisrael. And
like before you didn't ask where it went.
Rabbi Levine,
yeah.
They didn't ask for a calculation because they knew they weren't going to get it back.
They did get it. It doesn't matter. They wanted
to. No, but they knew that whatever they gave.
But they did. They asked for a calculation for all of the other materials. They asked for a calculation for the silver. They asked for a calculation of the copper. They asked for a calculation of the tcheles, the argamon. Everything was accounted for. The only thing that was not accounted for in Parshas Vayikra is the gold. Question is, why not? So perhaps we can suggest that just like we find there was no calculation made by the eagle, because if once you want to know where it goes for, it's a reminder of what the Arver was, and being that the entire Mishkan was a kapara for the eagle, don't go in that direction. Okay. Yes, Mikoylov, it's the Kish Mikoylov. Okay. Let's go to another idea. Let me tell you a short idea from the Reisharov, a Ha'ar from the Reisharov. The Reisharov asked the question, he quotes the Rashi, let's just see the Rashi. The Rashi tells us towards the beginning of the parasha about Betzalel. Betzalel, he did everything. Betzalel ben Uri ben Hur asa eitz kol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. So Rashi comments asher tziva osay Moshe. It does not say asher tziva oso, which Moshe commanded him. This is a famous Rashi. This Rashi is really discussed in other parashios, but here's where it's written. It does not say in the pasuk that Moshe commanded him, but rather Betzalel did what was commanded of Moshe. In other words, Asher Tziva Oso Moshe Ein Ksivkan Elo Kol Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe Afilu Devarim Sheloi Omar Loi Rabboi. If he did things that he was not told to do by his Rebbe, his schema Daitoi L'mash Nemar L'Moshe B'Sinai, he was mechavin to what it was said L'Moshe B'Sinai. Again, we gave an example last week with the Tzipui Rosh Shehem. In the command, it does not say anywhere that the tips of the Amudim should be plated with gold or silver. And this was an embellishment that Betzalel added, so you could perhaps suggest that this was something which was included in this pasuk, in this drasha, that Moshe never gave him this command. This is something which Betzalel figured out on his own. He was never given explicit instructions to plate the tips of the Amudim, of the Mishkan and of the Chotzer with gold and silver. He did this on his own. The Rashi gives us a more classic example of what he did, and here he goes. Ki Moshe tzivu l'Betzal l'asos atchila kelim yachach Mishkan. Moshe gave Betzal the command first, I want you to build the kelim, and then the Mishkan. First build the Aron, build the Shulchan, build the Mizbeach, and then when you're finished, build the Kroshim and put the Yerios on top of it. Omar loy Betzalel. Betzalel said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Minak Oilam lasos tchila bayis v'achakach meisim kelim misocho. The minig olam is first you build a house and then you bring in the furniture. No one first, when they have an empty lot of land in Flatbush and they're building a house, they first go and they go to the furniture store and they buy all the furniture and they bring all the furniture to the empty lot and then they first call the contractor to go and build a house. It doesn't work like that. Before you go and you buy the furniture, you first build the building, and then you bring the, you don't dump the furniture.
I have to tell that to Moshe Rabbeinu.
So what is going on? How could over here Betzal Moshe Rabbeinu such a problem? Tell Betzal first you're going to build the Aron, then you're going to build the Shulchan, then you're going to, and where are we going to put this? Well, you're going to bring it to the street, to the lot. We have to first build the building before we can bring the utensils into the building. So Betzal asked Moshe Rabbeinu a very strong question: what are you telling me to do over here? It doesn't make any sense. So Amarlo, so he said to him, so Moshe Amarlo, Kach Shemat Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, you're right. I mean, you're right. Betzalel, you're right. When I relayed the information to you, I told it to you in the wrong order. But you are correct. Amarlo Moshe Betzel Kel Hoyisa. How did you know this? It must be that you were in the shadow of Hashem. Ki Bevadai Kach Tzivu LeKadosh Baruch Hu V'chein Asa. And Moshe Rabbeinu said that you must have, I told you wrong, and it must be that you were in the shadow of Hashem, you knew exactly what Hashem really told me to do. Okay, so this is the famous Chazal Moshe Rabbeinu, he was told, the truth is, Moshe was told first to make the building, then make the Kalim. Moshe, by mistake, he told Betzalel first make the Kalim, and then make the Binyan. Betzalel picked up that it was an error, he knew what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really told Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's what it means in this pasuk, Kasher Tziva. Also, Moshe does not say Kasher Tziva. It says Kasher Tziva. Kol Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, not Kasher Tziva. Also, Moshe. Now, the question though is, what was Moshe Rabbeinu thinking? What was Moshe Rabbeinu thinking by telling Betzalel first make the Kalim and then make the Mishkan? If indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that you're supposed to first build the Mishkan and then build the Kalim, why did Moshe Rabbeinu tell Betzalel it in the wrong order? What was Moshe Rabbeinu thinking?
We could ask him
Yeah.
What's the big riot that the same cable you say has gotten sent like you said before? What's the riot that he's such a big sale cable to build the Mishka first? Any person would say first to do the Mishka.
Yeah, but he could have just listened to Moshe at face value. If Moshe Rabbeinu called Hashem Yom Lecha, I feel
I'll. But Moshe,
you're right. Moshe confessed that you're right. Moshe confessed to Bezalel that you are correct, but Bezalel picked up on this. Bezalel asked questions. But what was Moshe Rabbeinu then thinking? What was?
It's going the other way around. What's
okay, but
right?
the basic idea. What was Moshe thinking? Okay. So the Reish Rav of Aaron Levine, he answers as follows. He says as follows. He says, "Go back to the very first reference in the Torah to the building of a Mishkan of Beis Hamikdash. Where do we find the very first reference? Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu. He learns for 14 years in the Beis Medrash of Shem Dieder." He travels to Lavan, he comes to Harmaria, he takes 12 stones, and he puts his head down, he wakes up in the morning, and all the stones in the middle of the night, they have a dispute, a lie, Yoniach Tzadik Roshai, all of the stones that come together. Yaakov has a dream, he sees the Malach Elokim oil in the Yardim, the Sulam, he wakes up and he says, Vayira Yaakov Ma'od, and he says, I'm afraid I didn't realize this was a holy place, and he then makes a neder. Will be a base elokim. Now, in the beginning of his expression, he says, "Ein ze ki in base elokim, v'ze shar hashamayim." Okay, one of the psukim there he makes mention, and he made it's not just "Ein ze ki in base elokim." Ain't that key in base? This is only the double negative. Ain't that key in base? Elokim v'zeh shar hashamayim. So the Reish Rav says, even though the pasuk simply means ain't that key in, it's a double negative, which means it's a positive. But we also have a right al derech durush to interpret this in the negative. And what Yaakov Avinu was saying, he's saying something very, very powerful. He's saying ain't that key in base? Elokim. This is not just a bias. This location where I'm located over here now, it's not a bias. It's not a bias. But what it really is it's the Shar HaShamayim. Now let's explain what he means. What he means is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah can be found all over the world. No one should ever chas v'shalom make a mistake and think there's a place in the world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have access to, where he's not aware. The person cannot go into a cave and say, here Hashem does not see what I'm doing, I can do any aver that I want. There's no such thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loy chola aretz kevodo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not limited to any one single location. If that's the case, what then is the purpose of building a Beis HaMikdash? Why are we trying to be mitzamtzein, to limit, to confine Hashem's Shekhinah to one location? What's the purpose? By the Goyim, I don't know which religion, a church is a place. In the church, that's where you'll find God. Outside the church, you do whatever you want to do. Do whatever you want to do. God is not to be found. If you need help with something, so you go to the church, the place where God is to be found, you ask him and he'll help you, and then you can go and live your life and you can escape from the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is kefira in Yiddishkeit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meloi Chol Aretz Kevodoy. So what then? The question is such a good question. What then is the purpose of building the Beis HaMikdash? And exactly what Yaakov Avinu says. The purpose of the Beis HaMikdash, it's not a bias. It's not a place to be mitzamzeh. The purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is the Shar HaShamayim. It's a place, it's the red phone. It's the place where you communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Hashem is on speaker. Hashem is on speaker. Hashem is all over the world. Hashem is all over the world. Hashem sees all. Hashem knows all. Hashem is not limited to a location. In Yadus, a Beis HaMikdash is just the Shar. It's just the gate. It's not a bias. It's not a bias in the sense where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is limited. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he told, we're coming here to build the Beis HaMikdash, he deliberately told Bezalel it should be built in the wrong order so that he should ask. Moshe Rabbeinu, by deliberately telling Bezalel it should be built in the wrong order, was teaching Bezalel, first build the kelim. You want to know why build the kelim? Because the bias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the entire entire world. You're asking me, where are we going to put the kelim? The kelim don't need a bias. A kelim, because the meloi chol haaretz kevodo, the entire world is Hashem's mokoim. If the entire world is Hashem's makom, wherever you build the kelim are being built in the bayis. The kelim are the tools that we use to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the entire world. The reason why we have to also build the structure is because we need to build a shar. We need to build a gate, a shar shamayim. But a bayis, Moshe Rabbeinu deliberately came to minimize that the Beis HaMikdash should not be viewed as a bias that's mitzantzein the shrine of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Beis HaMikdash is, Hashem's presence is all over. The Beis HaMikdash is just being built that it should be called a shar. That's why he deliberately changed the order. And this explains, that this idea explains another idea. We know that in this week's parasha, Hashem's name, Moshe, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, appears 18 times. Really, 18/19. This is another time, Kasher Tziva, Kenosu, Hashem gave the command 18 times. And Chazal tells us, why does it say Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe 18 times? Well, first they say simply that it's a compensation for Parshas Tetzaveh. The parallel to Parshas Pekudei is Parshas Tetzaveh. Vayakel Pekudei is Truma Tetzaveh. And the Parashas Tetzaveh, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned. Mochenina misivruch asher kosavt, erase me from your sefer which you have written. Erase my name. So Parashas, because Moshe's name was not mentioned, Parashas Tetzaveh, Kodesh Baruch Hu made it up to Moshe Rabbeinu by having his name mentioned in Parashas Pekudei 18 times. That's one answer. Another answer is the 18 times correspond to the 18 brachos of Shemoyne Esrei. And then there's another one, there's another mention which corresponds to V'lam al Shinim, a 19th time. That corresponds why? Because what is the essence of the Mishkan? The essence of the Mishkan is a base tefillah. It's a place when you come to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, this idea goes very well with what we've just said. The purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is to bring home to us, it's not a bias. It's not a place to where we are confining HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina. Hashem Shechina is present throughout the entire world. The purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is nothing more than to serve as a location, a makom, as a shar, to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the Torah went out of its way to say 18 times, every single part of the Mishkan is Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, to correspond to the Shemona Esrei, because the Shemona Esrei, the Amidah, is the tool, with the Hey idea, which indeed we use to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I accept the Rashi Rav's words, but what happened, I can understand the Rashi Rav's words before the Maaseh. Once the Maaseh came, Hashem said, also in big dogs, which kind of impressive, I've read, I think, about Soloveitchik, the books about
Tzimtzum.
He's restricting where he's going to reside.
Okay, it's yes and no. There's definitely a restriction to some degree, but it's still the focus. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. There's no question that the Beis HaMikdash, the intensity of the Kedusha in the Beis HaMikdash is much greater. Hashem has been mitzamsein his Shechina. But that doesn't mean in any way whatsoever Hashem is not aware of the entire world. Miloi chol aretz kevoidoi. And the focus when you come to the Beis HaMikdash is not, I'm coming over here to a place only Hashem is found in this place, Hashem is not found anywhere else. Hashem is all over the world. Mm-hmm. This Mokoyim is just the Shar HaShamayim. That's the focus. Even after the Yegel, absolutely, absolutely. Absolutely. Is Hashem all over the world? Of course Hashem is all over the world. But the focus of coming to the Beis HaMikdash is you are directly connected, you are now connected to the Shar HaShamayim. Minimize the idea of a bias. The whole world is Hashem's bias. If the whole world is Hashem's bias, anywhere where you put the Aron and the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbeach, you anywhere that you build it and you deposit it, you're putting it in that Kadosh Baruch Hu's bias.
So the kasha is before the Maaseh Egel, that Hashem didn't give it to you, they didn't need the Mishkan.
Okay, that's another issue. That's an entirely different issue. That's a Ramban that we would not need a Mishkan because Hashem's Kiddush will be all over the world. But let's just take it as it is. After the Egel, there's going to be a Mishkan. If you're going to build a Mishkan, there is a mistake. There is a common mistake. The average person can make a very grave mistake and think, since we're building for HaKadosh Baruch Hu a Mokoyim, Hashem's Kiddusha is limited to this very specific Mokoyim. Moshe Rabbeinu, from the very get-go, from the very beginning, he says to Klai Yisrael, don't make that mistake. Don't make that mistake. Build, and the way I'm going to teach you this lesson is build the Kalim first. Right. What do you mean build the Kalim? Go to the furniture store and buy all the furniture and have it delivered to a lot, an empty lot? The answer is the whole world is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's binyan. It happens to be that since there is a Cheder Egel, we can't do that practically. We have to still be mitzamsem. But in your mind, your attitude should be that the whole world is Hashem's bias, and the Mikdash is then, the focus is the Shar HaShemayim. And it's for this reason, there are 18 references in the Parshas Vayakel Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, corresponding to the Shemone Esrei, because the Shemone Esrei is exactly what we do at the Shar HaShemayim.
The
focus of the Shemone Esrei is the communication with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Shah Shemai. Moshe, say it again. And Moshe said, you're right. Moshe was playing mind games. Moshe was telling him what your priority should be. Soif Maisa b'machshava techila. We have no choice after the Egel to build a edifice. But you have to understand that the edifice is only there because we have no choice, because there's been a chait. But ideally, there's ideals and there is practicality. Ideally, a person has to acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is throughout the entire world. The whole world is his bias. Wherever you make the utensil, you're in his bias. Practically speaking, we have to do a degree of tzimtzum. What will be the nafkamina? The nafkamina is that when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, don't focus on the fact that it's a bias. Focus on the fact that it's a shar. It's a gateway to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Through the Shemona Esrei, through the 18 brachas, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Okay, let's go to another idea. We're running out of time. We have over here the Paroiches. In Parashas Pekudei, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to make a Paroiches. And the purpose of the Paroiches is going to be as a Mosach for the Ara. Let me find the Pasuk. The Samta Shom Eis Aron Hoedus, the Sakoiso Al Ho'aroin Es HaParochas. It's in Perek Mem, Pasuk Gimel. Moshe Rabbeinu B'yom HaChodesh Ho'yishon B'yechol HaChodesh Tokim Es Mishkan Oil Moed. The Samta Shom, Hashem says to Moshe, I want you to put there Eis Aron Hoedus, inside the Mishkan put the Aron, question over here is, why is the Torah describing the parochas with these words of it will serve as a shelter? In Parashas Teruma, the Aroin, the parochas, is described in much more significant terms. The purpose of the parochas is to be mavdil bein ha-kodesh u-bein kodesh ha-kodoshim. The purpose of the parochas is to make two different rooms in the Mishkan. There's a room called Kodesh, and there's a room called Kodesh Kodoshim. Here in Parashas Pekudei, the way we describe the parochas, we don't make any mention there's Kodesh and there's Kodesh Kodoshim. The only thing we say is that in the Mishkan, there's going to be the Aron, bring it inside, and then put up a mechitza. Put up a mechitza to separate between the Aroin and the rest of the room. My high, what happened to this expression of Kodesh, v'hivdila ha-paroiches, bein ha-kodesh uvein kodesh ha-kodoshim? So I want to make the following suggestion based upon a very fascinating gra. This is an amazing gra. I once told this gra to a Talmud Chacham who knows everything. He knows everything, this fellow. And this he didn't know. He didn't know this. What?
Everything
except for this. Yeah. I said this about Yishal Shudis, and like he never reacts. And like this guy just went and was just amazed with this Gra. What does the Gra say? The Gra takes note of the difference between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. In the Bayis Rishon, if you study the models, you will discover that the ceiling of the Kodesh HaKodoshim is 20 amos. Look at any model of the Bayis Rishon. The height of the ceiling of the Kodesh HaKodoshim is 20 amos. The height of the ceiling of the rest of the Heichal was 30 amos tall. There was a gap, there was a distance in ceiling height between the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kodesh of 10 Amos. Kodesh HaKadoshim's ceiling was 30, in the Heichal it was 20, and in the Heichal it was 30. In the Bayis Sheni, look at any model, you'll discover, look at Masechta Midos, there was one continuous height for both the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kodesh, and the height was 40. Now the dimensions were exactly the same. The dimensions were the Kodesh was 40 by 20, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 20 by 20. So the width and length of the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni were exactly the same. The only difference is, in the Bayis Rishon it was 20-30, and the Bayis Sheni it was a straight 40. My high, what exactly is going on? What's the difference between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni? So the Gra answers this question based upon a Gemara in Masechta Bava Basra. The Gemara Bava Basra has a situation where you hire a person to build you a house. And you have a contract, you have an architect, you have a contractor, and you tell them the dimensions. I want the length to be this, and I want the width to be this. And you do not specify the ceiling height. So when is the contractor in violation of his contract if he does not... What is the contractor obligated to provide as a ceiling height for a room that only has in the contract width and length? So the Gemara is a very simple formula. The height of the ceiling should always equal the half of the combined width and length. So let's say, for example, you build a room that's 30 wide and 30 long. Square, 30-30. So what is the proper ceiling height? 30. Because 30 plus 30 equals 60. 60 divided by 2 equals 30. Let's say the room is 40 by 10. Okay, the room is 40 by 10. What is the proper ceiling height? 25. 40 length, 10 wide, 50. Half of 50 is 25. So the Gra says, now let's use this Gemara to understand the difference between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. In the Bayis Rishon, they knew exactly the amatrax. They knew exactly where the wall. There's a problem. The base center is not really. It's not really 40. It's not really in total from beginning to end. It's 40. It's 40 for the Kodesh, and it's 20 for the in length. 40 for the Kodesh and 20 in length for the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What is 40 plus 20? 60. But the wall also takes up one amma. I don't remember if it's one. There's one amma. Now the question is, where is that one amma? Is that one amma inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Is that one amma in the part that is the Kodesh? So it's really going to be 39, 1, 40, 39, 1, 20. Or maybe it's 40, 1, 19. It was known. We don't know what it is, but it was known exactly what it should be. Now we're going to round off the numbers a little bit. It was known what it should be. In the Bayis Sheni, they didn't know what to do. They did not know what to do. Because they did not know what to do, they put basically a curtain. They put a curtain down the center, and they put two curtains down the center. So he says the following yisod. There's a fundamental difference between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. In the Bayis Rishon, the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim were two separate rooms. There was because they knew exactly where to put the wall. And they built a wall. There was a wall of stone, and there was a door. There was a door, and on the door was a one single curtain. That's why we have a door and you have a curtain. Every Aron HaKodesh has a door and a curtain because in the Bayis Rishon there was a door, and after you opened the door, there was still a curtain. There were two separate rooms. So now let's look at the dimensions of each room. The Kodesh HaKodesh was exactly 20 by 20. So let's do the math. 20 plus 20 equals 40. Half of 40 is 20. So the ceiling of the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Bayis Rishon was 20 amos. The Heichal, the Kodesh, was 40 by 20. 40 plus 20 is 60. Half of 60 is 30. So we understand the Bayis Rishon, we have two separate chambers, the Kodesh HaKodashim and the Kodesh. One was 20 by 20, which gives a height of 20 amos, and the Heichal was 30 because it was 40 by 20, which is 60, 30. Look at every model. Now we understand the secret in the models. Why? 30, 20. The Bayis Sheni, they didn't know what to do. So they just built one massively large room. One massively large room is 40 plus 20 is 60. It's 60 long and 20 wide. 60 plus 20 equals
80.
Half of 80 is 40. So the ceiling in the entire chamber of the Heichal, which includes the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is, it's one big room. It's one big room. The ceiling for this one big room is 40. But you have to have, the Aron has to have its own quarters. So we put up the parochas. The parochas in the Bayis Sheni did not serve, was not there in a wall. The parochas in the Bayis Sheni was, in the Bayis Sheni was just a mechitza. Like you go to shul, you have a mechitza for the noshim. They have one big room and there's a mechitza. It did not affect the size of the room. It's one big continuous room. Again, but in the Bayis Rishon, what? They hung it from the ceiling. Whatever it was, they hung it from the ceiling, the curtain. But in the Bayis Sheni, the Kodesh, and the Kodesh HaKodashim was one continuous large room, which had the dimensions of 80, of 60 by 20, which combined is 80, divided by 2 is 40. In the Bayis Rishon, there are two rooms. There's the Kodesh HaKodashim, and there's the Kodesh. The Kodesh HaKodashim is 20 by 20. The Heichal is 40 by 20. Each one gets its own separate ceiling. There's a wall, there's a door, and in the door there was a paroiches. So it comes out, we suggest, that is what, this is not only my idea, but this is many of the commentators explain that the difference between, there are nuances, there are small differences between what appears in Truma Tetzaveh and what appears in Vayakal Pekudei. What it says in Truma Tetzaveh is Mirames on the Bayis Rishon. The Bayis Rishon was a pure replica of the purity of the Mishkan. It was ideal. Shlomo HaMelech. It was meant to last forever. The Bayis Sheni was after the Churban. The Bayis Sheni was just a temporary structure for 420 years to prepare us for Golus. Yaakov Kamenetsky talks about this a lot. The Bayis Sheni was never meant to be a new Beis HaMikdash. It was meant to be a temporary Beis HaMikdash to prepare us for the Golus, to prepare us for the Bayis Shlishi. It was equivalent to, what's the difference between Truma Tetzaveh, the Chet HaEgel? There is the Chet HaEgel that separates, just like in these parashas, Truma Tetzaveh is separated from Vayakal Pekudei with the Chet HaEgel. The Bayis Rishon was separated from the Bayis Sheni, unfortunately, with the Churban, the real Churban, the loss of the Shechina, the Nevi'im, it was the end of Ruach HaKodesh, came with the Churban of the Bayis, came with the Churban of the Bayis Rishon. So therefore, in Parashas Truma, when we describe the parochas, it's described v'evdila ha-parochas lochem bein ha-kodesh uvein ha-kodesh ha-kodoshim. Because the Parashas Truma is merames in the Bayis Rishon. Bayis Rishon, there were two separate chambers. There was a wall in between. The parochas, indeed, was in the gap of the door that was mavel bein ha-kodesh uvein ha-kodesh ha-kodoshim. And the proof is, look at the ceiling. The fact that there's a different ceiling height indicates that the chamber is a unique, separate chamber. 20 by 20. That means it has to have a ceiling of 20. If it's 40 by 20, it has a ceiling of 60. But the Bayis Sheni was not on that madrega. There wasn't a hevdel bin HaKodesh bin HaKodesh HaKodoshim. It was one big room. It was one big room. It was 60 by 20. 80. 80 by divided by 2 is 40. So what's the parochas then for? Parshas Pekudei. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Leima, v'yamachosh v'yishom yachol l'chadosh tokim es mishkan oil moed. V'samta sham, bring in there, es aroino edos, bring it into the room, it's one big room. And then, put up a mechitza, v'sakoyso al ha'oroines ha'paroches. There's no drama, there's no drama, there's no kodesh, or kodesh ha'kodoshim, v'vdila ha'paroches lachem. It's one big room. It's like you go to shul. There are no women today, so roll away the mechitza. A woman comes to shul to say kaddish, whatever she comes for, so bring in the mechitza. Roll in the mechitza into the room. It's one big room. The male, there's no drama, there's no mention, the chilek of the kodesh and the kodesh HaKadoshim. And this, unfortunately, reflects what exactly we're missing. This idea really reflects deeply, derech Musar, what we're missing in Galus. What we're missing in Galus is Havdalah. Today, you know, America, Baruch Hashem, you can have it all. You can have it all. You just have to work hard. There's no Havdalah. Everyone is the same. This is part of the Churban of Galus. So I heard from Rabbi Rakef, and he was making with Sanis, I'm not going to say exactly of who, someone who is not 100% Orthodox, and he says that he read their sermon on Rosh Hashanah, this goes back 2 years ago, and he said this year was a very sad year. We lost a lot of great people. We lost Rav Yashiv, Zechel, I don't know if he said it, Yashiv was. It's first coming out now, the goyness of who Rav Yashiv was. And we lost, in the same sense, we lost Rav Yashiv and Joan Rivers. Joan Rivers. Joan Rivers. Okay. So, Rakefet, he went berserk. He went wild. If you can put in one sentence on Rosh Hashanah, your servant in Rosh Hashanah, we lost the greats. There's obviously something really, really wrong. Now, Baruch Hashem, I don't think we're holding there on that level, but on other levels, this is a problem in Galus. In Galus, we lost the sensitivity to the mavdil bein hakodesh uvein hakodesh hakodashim. The makom sheyesh kedusha, wherever you have kedusha, you have havdalah. Shabbos, we mavel ben kodesh l'chol. But it's not just mavel, wherever there's kedusha, it's not by geder arayis, all of the prohibitions of arayis. Wherever there's a kedusha, there has to be havdalah. If there's no das, there's no havdalah. But it's not just black and white. There's havdalah many different levels. There's a mavdil ben hakodesh uvein hakodesh hakodoshim. This lack of sensitivity to matters of Kedusha, even to be mazel, being Kodesh, and Kodesh HaKadoshim is expressed in very great detail in the difference between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. In the Bayis Rishon, there's a Kodesh and there's a Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's a wall. Each one has a different ceiling height. It's Merum, it's the Paroiches. V'hoya HaParoiches Lochem L'Havdil Bein HaKodesh U'Vein HaKodesh HaKadoshim. And then comes Parshas Kisisa, the Shoresh of all Chet, the Chet Ha'egel, Uviyoin Pakti, Ufakadati Aleichem, Churban. With Churban, with Galus, comes the Bayis, next comes the replacement is the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni is not the Bayis Rishon. In the Bayis Sheni, the most fundamental loss of the Bayis Sheni, besides the fact there was no Aron, but there is no Kodesh, and there's no Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's just one big room.
That's because of the great height, the 40 amas. That's why I think the Mishnah says you need 300 Kahanim to be Tov
the Parachas, they're massive. But this is part of the loss of Chor government. We don't have Havdalah bin HaKodesh uvein HaKodesh HaKadoshim. Okay.
Ready to hear about Rafael Yashav and the other one.
What?
Where did you hear that?
What, this word?
They compared the two. Never
this the Mepharshim said, they compared the two Mekitzaveh and Mechabekudeh?
That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about somebody mentioned those who passed.
Oh, I heard this on a tape. I heard this on a tape from Rabbi Rakef. I can't say in public who he's referring to. Okay, he said this 2 years ago. He mentioned this. Okay, let's conclude with a short. Okay, there's two more short things. First, I just want to mention that this parasha, I'll tell you a idea from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says that this parasha is very bizarre. It does not tell us the simin for how many pesukim there are in this parasha. This is just a piece of trivia. Does not tell us the simon. Every parasha ends off with how many psukim in that parasha. And for some reason, we have a very elaborate set of simonim at the end of parashas Pikudei for the entire chumash. the entire Chumash, how many Psuchos, how many Stumos, how many Parshios, but it leaves out how many Psukim are to be found in Parshas Pikudei. How could that be? How could we leave out the number of Psukim? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe says it used to be, he claims this to be true, it used to be, I don't know the details, I just saw this very shorthand, is that there was indeed a simon in the old Chumashim, and the simon was B'li Kol Simon. B'li Kol Simon. What is B'li Kol Simon? B'li Kol Simon is B'li, Bays, about... 92. B'li Kol Simon is B'gematria. B'li Kol is B'gematria in 92. How many psukim are there in Parashas Pikudei?
92.
So the printer...
Erased
the printer says, B'li Kol Simon, there's no Simon. Also, there's why no Simon. So why put this little Babish Rebbe says? That's what he says. That's why in Parashas Pikudei it's missing, because there's somehow they left that B'li Kol Simon. The Simon is B'li Kol. Okay. Now just to conclude with one last part that is very chavav to me. We have here at the end of the Parashah the word Vayichal. The way when it concludes, Vayokem es echotzer saviv la mishkan v'la mizbech vayitein es mosach shar echotzer Vayichal Moshe es hamalacha. Moshe concluded the malacha. This expression, Vayichal Moshe hamalacha, is parallels Shabbos. We know that the lamed tes malachas all come from the mishkan. The mishkan, any malacha that was, the Gemara says, any malacha that was necessary for the building of the mishkan, for the building of the Mishkan, is the Malacha for Hilcha Shabbos. Yeah. The ultimate form of creative labor in this world was the building of the Mishkan. And since on Shabbos, Torah says, do not do Malacha, so our prohibition of Malacha parallels the creative labor that was necessary in the building of the Mishkan. So there was a direct correlation between the building of the Mishkan and the observance of Shabbos. Moshe finished building the Mishkan, then what does it say? It says, we finished. Vayokem esechotzer sov lamang lemishkan vaylamisbech vaytenes mosach hashachotzer vayichal Moshe es hamalacha. This pasuk parallels vayochulu hashamayim baaretz v'chol tzivam vayichal l'kim b'yom hashvi. Okay, now it's interesting to take note that the mishkan. If you had a bird's eye view of the mishkan, what would you see? You look at the models, bird's eye view. What do you see? You see in the center the ohel moed. And you see outside the Mizbeach. That's pretty much the kiyar also. Okay, but let's put aside the kiyar. The kiyar is there for Washington when you do the avoda. There is the kiyar. Okay, there is the water. But you basically see two different objects. The Ohel Moed and the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach. The Mizbeach represents the physical world. Mizbeach Adama Taseli. The Mizbeach is a chelik of the Adama. Has to be filled with Adama. We offer sacrifice on the Mizbeach Adama. The Mishkan represents spirituality. So when it says, and all of this is surrounded by the Chotzer. So the Chotzer represents, I want to suggest, represents Shabbos. Vayichulu hashmayim v'aretz v'chol tzvam, shamayim v'aretz. The shamayim is the Mishkan, the Oretz is the Mizbeach, and Shabbos, the 7 days of the week, is what surrounds the spiritual world and the physical world, which are all tied together, which are all brought together. Now, how many amudim were there in the Mishkan? There were exactly 60 amudim. 60. There was 20 on each side, 40, and there were 10 on each side. Now, the 10 by the Pesach was more elaborate, because they had 3 and 3 and 4, but there were exactly a total of 60. How many days in the year are called Shabbos? Exactly 60 days in the year are called Shabbos. How do we know that? Mm-hmm. In a leap year, let's just say for argument's sake, in a leap year, there are really 54 parashios. Let's work from that angle. There are 54 parashios in the Torah. Let's put aside Parashas Vezos HaBracha, because Parashas V'zos HaBracha is going to be read on a Yom Tov, is going to be read on Shmini Atzeres. So let's put aside the 54th parasha. We have 53 parashios. Then there are 7 days that are called in the Torah Shabboson. All of the Moadim are all called, which includes one day Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, first day Sukkot, the last day of Sukkot, Shavuos, and the first day Pesach, and the last day Pesach. Did I leave anything out?
Seven.
Shmini Atzeres. That's the last day of Sukkot. That's the Shmini Atzeres. So review: Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Let's say Shavuos was 1 day. Pesach is 2 days, right? Pesach is 2 days, the first day and the seventh day. And Sukkot is the first day and Shmini Atzeres. So, and all of those days are called very explicitly in the Torah Shabboson. Shabboson Mikra Kodesh. They're all called, everyone is called Shabboson. So it comes out, and how many Shabboson, how many maximum Shabbosos are there in a year? There are 53 in the leap year. You have a possibility, not every leap year is like that, but we had it last leap year was like that, it's rare. But you could have exactly 50, the max is 53 regular Shabbosos, plus you're going to Chaperayim another 7 days, which are Shabboson. So it turns out, Haloi Davar, that there are 60, potentially 60 days in the year, which are Shabbos. And what does Shabbos do? Shabbos vayuchulu, and now by the courtyard it says vayokebes echotzer, saviv la mishkon v'la mizbeach. Vayuchulu hashomayim v'ha'aretz. The word la mishkon corresponds to shomayim. Because in the mishkon was the menorah, was the aron, was the shulchan, all the spiritual things, the mizbeach, hazof, all of the spiritual things were found in that little edifice. V'la mizbeach, mizbach adoma taseli. Vayichulu hashamayim v'ha'aretz. Vayitein es mosach shar chotzer, vayichal moshe, vayichulu hashamayim. Basically, what the Sefer Yom Pasach Lamgil is telling us is that the Mishkan, the chotzer ha-Mishkan, is a microcosm of the world. And the Amudim, the 60 Amudim, represent these 60 pillars, they represent Shabbos Kodesh. And what is the Liman Musar? The Liman Musar is every Shabbos is not isolated. Just like in the Mishkan, all of the Amudim were connected through a masach. It wasn't just you had a pillar here, a pillar there. All of the amudim were connected, were covered with one cloth, which were all together. Every Shabbos is all to be viewed as part, as a process, part as a collection of Shabbosos, not as a single Shabbos. And what's also interesting is that each part has three different sections. There were three, there was the top, the middle, and the bottom. Look in the pictures. There are three different sections of each of the amudim, which we can suggest corresponds to the three meals. Each one of the amudim has the Lel Shabbos, Suda Shabbos, and Shalashudas. There are three different parts to each one of the amudim, and they all connect together to form one complete unit parallel to the Shabbos of Maaseh Bereishis. Chazak, chazak, minis chazak. Okay, we're going to say Kaddish. We have a request that everyone answer Kaddish without speaking.
I don't know about 50 and 30 hours.